He always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this?
You know, we've all been there, and you'll have conversations with your higher ups for a project, and you'll ask what kind of funding you can get for that kind of a project, and you get that answer back. And if you get less funding for that project than you would maybe like, but you do believe in the project, what winds up happening is you wind up picking up a lot of that slack yourself, right? If you really believe in the project. And what essentially, and I'm not saying this is definitely how this goes, but if Rob goes to Genie and says, "Hey Genie, can we just get an actual NBA scout whose job it is just to monitor the NBA, not any, you know, we have scouts, but they also have these other jobs. Can we just have a specifically scouting department?" And if Genie comes back and says, "No, we don't have the funding for that," then Rob basically has to say, "All right, well, I guess we'll just kind of make do." But now if Rob goes to Genie and then Genie goes to AEG, or, you know, in this case, Mark Walter, and Genie asks, "Hey, Rob is interested in a scouting department. Here's the budget of what that would cost. What do you think?" And if AEG comes back and says, "Yeah, let's do it." And now all of a sudden the Lakers have that kind of funding and those kinds of resources to be able to say yes more often, they're going to be better at this stuff than they were, as recently as last year. It's funny. There was this conversation on Blue Sky the other day about Vox and about, I forget the guy's name, but apparently, like, SB Nation, my former employer, they're trying to kind of reinvent Twitter again. Pete and I talked about this briefly the other day. And one of the things that I'll always kind of know SB Nation for is it's kind of a no company where, you know, I'll say, you know, "Hey, I'm thinking about doing this thing. What do you think about this? What do you think about that? What do you think?" And it would almost feel like it was, the people at the very, very, you know, top of SB Nation. It was almost their job to say no to stuff. And what that winds up leading to is eventually, you know, I remember when I was at Locked On, and I was like, "Hey, what if we do like a regional Locked On LA show? And here's kind of my vision for it." And eventually, I don't know if they eventually did it or whatever, but it took them however long to do it. Well, I went to Vox about it too, and they weren't, they looked for reasons not to do it. And then I got here to Odyssey, and I was like, "Hey, this is what I'm kind of thinking, and, you know, for kind of a regional podcast network." And my bosses at Odyssey were like, "Absolutely, what are you thinking?" And I was like, "Well, we would probably need to start with a robust team of Lakers shows and allow that to kind of lay the foundation of what we're trying to do here, and then use the kind of revenue that we generate with that Lakers content to take gambles on Dodgers stuff, which doesn't traffic as well in podcasts as Lakers do. Maybe we could do, a Rams show, a USC football, UCLA basketball, or maybe just USC or UCLA type shows." And with Odyssey, it was like, "Yeah, let's find a way to do this." And that's how we got, you know, I was able to talk to Pete, and I was able to talk to Jovan, and that's how the Great Western Forum was born. And, as of right now, I think we make up like a pretty big percentage of our sports podcasts, as a whole, are these Lakers shows. And that's going to allow us to take some of these other gambles here moving forward. And, you know, for the Lakers bringing it back, when you look for reasons not to do stuff and you become super risk averse, you're missing out by saying no those times. And I think, you know, the Lakers, by saying no to a scouting department, they oftentimes, I think, are a little behind the times in terms of intel, and that kind of hurts them. So, you know, whether it's injury prone players, whether it's whatever it is, you know, I would like to see the Lakers invest more in information so that whatever decisions they eventually make, they are more confident in making them and thus make more decisions and say yes to a few more things. All right. Quick question here. At KR Swiss writes, hey, Anthony, seeing Aaron having the time of his life on Instagram made me realize it's been a long effing time. Is there a chance he comes back at some point? Please let the OGs know. Appreciate all the work you do. Thank you very much. So every time I go back home, I try to, you know, wrangle up as many of my friends in this industry as I possibly can. And because Aaron is just such a good dude, he invites us. He's a great chef, and he invites us over to his place to eat there and catch up. And I bring my kids along. They call him Uncle Aaron. And this last time we were talking, I was like, hey, man, it's been forever since we podcast. And he was like, yeah, you're right. So we're going to try to, at some point here, get him back on the show because yeah, I absolutely miss doing shows with him. And yeah, we need to fix how long it's been since we've done a show together. All right, let's take a look at some of these live comments to see if I've missed anything here. Mike Jones, would you rather have Dayron Sharpe or Robert Williams? Oof, man, that's a good question. So that's one of those tough questions, because one guy is a, like, Robert Williams is a better basketball player than Dayron Sharpe, but he never plays. Dayron Sharpe isn't as talented as Robert Williams, but he plays. So it just kind of depends on what your priority is going to be there. Now, for me, seeing as the Lakers already have Ayton, I would probably lean Williams, but I kind of agree with the Lakers in their not wanting to give up anything to trade for Williams. So I would kind of wait. I got to see what kind of contract Robert Williams is on. Robert Williams contract. So, all right. So he's on the last year of that contract. So he might get bought out at some point. And remember, I've talked to you guys a ton about this, where when guys reach that final year of their contract, teams will basically just say, yeah, we're just going to wait for that guy to expire. Or we'll wait for that guy to get bought out and, you know, give it a go at trying to land him in free agency on the buyout market. And, you know, fortunately here for the Lakers, because they're hard cap below the first apron, they'll be able to sign players that become available in the buyout market. And one of the things that I'm going to be kind of looking for is, you know, like right now the Lakers could send, it would be, let's just say, Maxi Kleba and Dalton Connect for Mark Williams. And that would get, you know, it would cross a few boxes off there. But if the Lakers say don't want to trade Dalton for Williams here and eventually still want to, you know, in essence, trade Maxi for Robert Williams, what you could eventually do is just buy out Maxi and then wait for, or, you know, if you hear that Robert Williams is going to get bought out, then you just buy out Maxi, you get in touch with Robert Williams, you say, hey, this is what kind of role we have in mind for you. Yeah, all we would need to do is buy this guy out. Then once you, again, totally legally, But once you hear back from Williams's people, or you get enough information to be confident that you'd be able to get Robert Williams, then you buy out whoever you need to buy out. And it essentially becomes a Maxi Kleba for Robert Williams type trade. And you can, you know, there's several types of players that this would work for. So, I mean, it's essentially what the Milwaukee Bucks did with Dame, where they didn't trade Dame to Indiana for Miles Turner, but because you bought out Dame, it essentially becomes like a Dame for Miles Turner and whatever other players they wound up signing using that financial flexibility. And no, it's not an official trade, but it becomes effectively a trade. And I think that's something that we should probably all keep an eye out for over the course of the season, especially with guys like Williams who are on the final year of their deal. Next question here comes from Preston Cook. Any update on Braun? Well, he seems to enjoy golf. Aside from that, I don't really know what kind of update I would be giving here. He's going to be a Laker on opening night. I've been pretty consistent on this all summer. I don't believe he's going anywhere. I even took it a step further in some of my reporting a few weeks ago when I said I think he's going to retire a Laker, whether it's after this season or the following year after that, or whenever it would be. But I think LeBron's going to play out this final year of his contract. And then I still think it's likelier than not that he re-signs if he's going to continue playing. And I also think that he's going to be pleasantly surprised by how good this team is, especially early in the season. And that makes it that much easier for him eventually to consider re-signing after this upcoming year. So as far as the update goes, I saw that he was golfing in the rain. That's always kind of a fun experience. And by fun, I mean awful. Golfing in the rain is just not very fun. Sometimes you just get caught out there. I live out here in Texas, and we get these weather systems that just go by really, really fast. So every so often you just get caught in the rain. But yeah, golfing in the rain, not very fun. But yeah, and aside from that, I don't really have much else to say on LeBron. I don't think he's going anywhere. He's going to be the starting power forward on opening night. Oh, wrong button. Here we go. Let's see. Next one here. Mike Jones, do you think if Cam Thomas becomes unrestricted that the Lakers will do everything possible to sign him? I mean, no, because they don't really have much that they can actually do. And he also doesn't really fill a need. Like what we're kind of learning here is the NBA is kind of moving on from your scoring inclined combo guards who don't defend very much. I like Cam Thomas. He's a very good scorer. He's a pretty impactful player. But if he's looking for $30-something million a year, and then he becomes an unrestricted free agent, and whoever signs him to whatever less it'll be than $30 million a year, he's going to be gunning it while he's on that team to try to get that $30 million a year contract that he thinks he has earned. So I'm kind of good on Cam Thomas. I enjoy watching his scoring flurries, so long as they aren't against the Lakers, but I enjoy watching him happen against other teams. He's a fun offensive player, but he's not as impactful as he is talented, especially offensively. So I wouldn't do it. And for the Lakers, like, what would they do? They don't have the cap room to sign him. You could try to engage Brooklyn in a sign and trade type situation, which I would like to see them try. If they're going to do that, I would rather do that with like Quentin Grimes instead of Cam Thomas. But yeah, I'm This is kind of a boring answer to a lot of your guys' questions, because there are questions here in from Twitter too, right? Cool Beans asking, obligatory, are the Lakers done this offseason? Gregory Brown, any realistic trade the Lakers are actually interested in? Carlo Del Mundo writing, any Lakers trade rumors? I'm sorry, everyone. It's pretty much a wrap, I think, for this offseason. Unless there's some crazy development here. Now everybody's just kind of waiting for the unrestricted free agency thing to figure itself out, whether it's those guys becoming available, whether it's those guys signing their qualifying offers, whether it's those guys agreeing to a deal. But everybody's just kind of sitting around waiting for Jonathan Kuminga, waiting for Cam Thomas, waiting for Quentin Grimes, waiting for Josh Giddey. And, you know, until we get more information on that situation, we're all just going to be stuck here watching some of the world's dumbest games of chicken. Let's go to the next question here, which comes from all right. So there's a lot of letters here. XXBEPBOOP91XX. I've heard Trevor Lane and the K brothers on Locked On Lakers talk about what they think Reeves will get next offseason. What do you think is a reasonable AAV for him, average annual salary? So I think he's going to get somewhere in the ballpark of 30 would be my guess. And I would be pretty comfortable with that number. Much higher than 30. Somebody asked me the other day, the last mailbag that we did, somebody asked me why I don't talk about things in terms of percentage of the cap. Part of the reason that I don't talk about it as percentage of the cap is because teams go above the cap, and the Lakers are almost always going to operate above the salary cap. So percentage of the cap is kind of tough when you say, like, so-and-so is getting 35% of the cap, so-and-so is getting 30% of the cap, so-and-so is getting 15% of the cap. And then eventually the listener, if they are listening really, really well, they'll be like, wait, you just gave me more than 100%, and that's kind of weird. So that's part of the reason. And then also it's just extra kind of arithmetic, and nobody likes math. But with Austin, any more than 30, it's just, I guess it would also depend on how long into the future that contract would go. Because you're kind of incentivized to, if you're going to pay Austin 30, you would almost prefer that be like a 4-year contract because of the cap increases. So if Austin is signing a $30 million a year contract with 5% raises or 10% raises, whatever raise that you give them every year, if the percentage increase of the cap exceeds those, the percentage of raise that you're giving Austin every year, that contract actually becomes a little bit more valuable the longer that it runs. So, yeah, starting AAV, I would probably say about 30. And if you go much above 30, I start to feel the willies a little bit. That's kind of where I kind of reside. Now, I've heard people say that, like, you know, he shouldn't even get 30. Look, he's going to be the second best player on a Luka Doncic team after LeBron retires. And second best players on playoff teams, they tend to get $30-ish million a year. Now, you could debate whether or not you would prefer that he be your third best player. And then if he's your third best player, maybe 30 is a little high, but Yeah, I would probably say 30 is around the ballpark that I'd be looking for. And honestly, like, I'd be pulling for Austin to get it. He's a cool story, man, and he's good people. So get paid, Austin. Let's see. Oh, here's a good question that I put on the rundown. So at Shazaho writes, realistically, do you think the Lakers could be a top five offense this upcoming season? And do you think they could be an above average defense with their current roster? If not either of those things, what do you say if their ceiling is offensively, defensively? All right. So the thing that will hold the Lakers back from being a top five offense, if they aren't one, is their shooting concerns. Austin, not the best catch and shoot threat. LeBron, not the best catch and shooting threat. Laravia is good on the catch and shoot. Rui is pretty good on the catch and shoot. Marcus Smart, not that good at it. And you kind of go from there. You know, Gabe Vincent, streaky. And Dalton Connect, I don't think is going to play enough to help their three-point shooting. If you're going to play Vando at all, you're really hurting in the three-point shooting category. Ayton, not a stretch flat five. Obviously, Jackson Hayes, not a stretch five. And without getting up just astronomical numbers of threes, it's kind of difficult to keep up with the teams that are shooting that number of threes. Now, what I will say, and this is what I'm really going to be keeping an eye on this season, is how effective the Lakers are going to be in the half court. Like, just in terms of points per possession in the half court, that I think is going to be where the Lakers have to feast. You know, you have Luka, you have LeBron, you have Austin, Marcus Smart as a not even tertiary. I don't even know what word you would use for tertiary. I don't know. Like, but he's not a primary, he's not a secondary, he's not a tertiary one. And he's your fourth best creator in that starting group. And then you have Ayton, who's a really good finisher in a variety of ways offensively. There's like the pieces are there for that group to be really bleeping good in the half court. So long as the strategy is solid, they actually call and run plays, and so long as Luka and LeBron are willing to operate in the half court together. So, I would say that, you know, will they be a top five overall offense? Probably not. I would say top 10. But I do think, like, in terms of you know, clutch offense, when the game slows down and when you absolutely need a bucket, I think the Lakers are going to be really good there. And that matters a lot more come playoff time than being a run-and-gun offense that kind of runs up the score over the course of the regular season and gets into that top five conversation. Now, as far as defensively, it just depends on Luka, honestly, because he's going to play 35 plus minutes a night. And he is, you know, if he's going to be playing with LeBron, it's going to be difficult for him to guard, to be hidden too much. You know, how effectively will teams hunt Austin if they try to hunt Austin? How good is DeAndre Ayton actually going to be as a defensive anchor, if we're going to think of him that way? How much energy is LeBron going to have on defense, given that he doesn't have to expend too much energy or as much energy offensively? Will he figure out a way to kind of re-ration the amount of energy that he uses over the course of a game? Those are going to be the things that kind of go a long way in deciding how good the defense is going to be. So there's a lot of ifs there. And if you're just asking me, like, can the Lakers be solid defensively? I would say, yeah, they can be solid defensively. Will they be like, all right, you're asking me if they can be league average or no, above average. That would make them a top 10 to 15 defense in the league. I'll say yeah. I'll say yeah, they will be. I think I don't think they can be very I don't think they can be as good of a team without being, well, this is a stupid thing to say. They aren't going to be very good if they aren't good on both sides of the ball. But what I mean is, like, the Lakers, I don't think they're going to blow anybody out of the water offensively. And if you're not going to be just an overwhelming force offensively, then you have to be at least average, if not above average, defensively to be good. And I think it's a good team. So I think they'll be above average defensively, and they'll be legitimately good offensively. All right, let's see. All right. I think I'm going to end it here, 50 minutes in, and I haven't been canceled yet. So I'm going to go ahead and end it there. So, thank you, everybody, for the questions and for the conversation here. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. And please hit that subscribe button on my way out here. If you guys missed anything, you can go back here, obviously, and listen to or watch the episode in its entirety here on YouTube. And then if you prefer it in podcast form, you can tune in to it. Man, I'd gone almost the full episode without that like hiccup burp thing. But anyway, have a great rest of your weekend. Make somebody else's, and I will talk to you Monday, tomorrow. Harrison and me, tomorrow. Have a good one.